A research expedition recently set sail from Chicago to search for a Great Lakes garbage patch. This is the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams. So-called garbage patches, or islands, are actually collections of tiny plastic particles that are choking up regions of the world's oceans. The research expedition has been testing the waters of Lakes Huron and Michigan for a similar phenomenon. Lewis Wallace has the story.
I meet up with expedition organizer Asta Mail at a marina in downtown Chicago. It's a hot day, and a street vendor immediately offers us bottled water.
Bottled water for $1.
Bottled water with the bottle floating right in front of us, yeah.
Mail is pointing down at a plastic bottle in Lake Michigan. It's pretty easy plastic hunting.
So here we've got a Cubs balloon, a Dunkin' Donuts styrofoam container, a Bud Light beer can, and a dead, it looks like a carp, next to a tire with a piece of styrofoam on it.
But this expedition is actually on the hunt for invisible plastic. A mix of researchers and sailors and citizen scientists is sampling water for 9 days. Out on the sailboat, Dr. Lorena Rios Mendoza explains. She's the expedition's head researcher from the University of Wisconsin. Rios says trash island is a misleading phrase. What they're looking for is more like an invisible cloud of particles near the surface. Most of them can only be seen through a microscope. The trouble is, even tiny plastic sticks around for a long time.
You throw away your plastic and you never see again. And then you can see, oh, it disappeared. It's gone. But it's not.
Fish can confuse it with food or swallow it by accident. Researchers are still investigating all the effects of that, but they do know that fish can choke on the plastic. What's more, plastic particles attract chemical pollutants and carry them around. The plastic turns into a kind of magic carpet, giving PCBs and DDT and dioxins a ride through the lake. Rio says those chemicals are
toxic for the aquatic organisms, toxic for you, toxic for me, for everybody.
But more research is needed to know exactly what this might mean for fish and people. So, what can be done? She says it's simple. Plastics in the Great Lakes come from cigarette butts, bags, and bottles, even exfoliating face wash with the little plastic beads in it.
We need to follow the 3 R's that they teach you in the school. Reduce, recycle it, and reuse. But I would like to add the refuse. If you don't need to use plastic, don't use it.
The most surprising thing I learned here is that people aren't the only organisms that use plastic. If a plastic particle is a magic carpet for chemicals, it's more like a metropolis for tiny marine bacteria. Melissa Duhame of the University of Michigan studies that bacteria.
Maybe it's just there to catch a ride to a new location, or maybe it's there to actually use that plastic to make a living.
She says it's possible the microbes are breaking down plastic, snacking on it. If that happened on a large enough scale, it could be a pollution solution of sorts. That's when Duhame pulls out Mutant 59, the plastic eaters.
It's a novel from the 70s about these crazy plastic eating entities.
The 1970s, when it was plastic good, bacteria bad.
This was like an end of Earth scenario where, you know, the microbes just melted all the plastic that our human infrastructure depends on. So anyway, I bought it on Amazon for like 13 cents, if you're interested. It wasn't a bestseller.
Point being, the scientific tables have turned. Humans created plastic, and now we might need some help destroying it.
We are out to find the plastic eaters.
Duhame is, at least. Great Lakes plastic is an emerging area of research, so the rest of the crew is just out to find the plastic. For the Environment Report, I'm Lewis Wallace in Chicago.
And that's today's Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams.